Okay, good morning, Nick. I appreciate you joining Jim and I. We're very anxious to learn more and talk about Uncork's code, no code activity. I've been following no code for several decades, and it sort of seems to come and go. You have a broad background in this, so can you give us some of your background and how you got into this uncode business, no code business?
Sure. Yeah, well, first off, thank you both for having me. I'm excited to be here and have this conversation with you. And you know, now I do evangelism at Uncork. However, you know, my career has always been in software development. I think that's really important when you talk about evangelism, because there's a lot of times where that role gets conflated with sales or conflated with marketing. And I think it's really important to for folks to understand that, you know, at least when I talk about our platform and no code and codeless architecture, it's coming from a place of somebody who's lived through a lot of the pains and problems that folks face in software development. And having done that for, you know, over a decade across a number of different organizations, startups, enterprises, across a number of industries, and even across the world, coming to Uncork about 3 years ago, I really saw the potential of no code in general, but also specifically Uncork's approach to it, to really help and mitigate a lot of those problems and risks that I've seen, you know, in my career in software development. So that's where I, that's how I got to where I am today. And then even at, you know, in those 3 years that I've been at Uncork, most of that time has been spent hands-on with the platform. You know, I didn't join the company from an evangelist or marketing capacity. I joined in really a developer capacity, solutions architecture capacity, you know, delivering for our clients, you know, really figuring out how this platform can be successful. And it was through that that I, you know, grew the passion that I have today for what we're doing, and now being able to share that with folks like yourself and then, you know, the rest of the world.
That's great. Can you just go back to basics and give our audience a little bit of an understanding of no code or low code and what that really means?
Sure. So, you know, we'll start with low code, as that's been around much longer than the concepts of no code. And I'm sure you're familiar with platforms like Salesforce. Of course, that's a low code platform, ServiceNow, a low code platform. And you know, they started to continue an ongoing trend that we've seen in application development, which is abstraction. And we kind of see it at all the layers of the tech stack. But when it comes to the application development or programming or coding, we've always tried to abstract away concepts from developers. You know, you can trace this evolution back to high-level languages, which abstracted away, you know, garbage collection and memory allocation and the things that people used to do, even abstracted away punch cards, right? We used to punch holes in cards to build software. We're not going to do that anymore. We've always tried to abstract and take away a lot of those repetitive tasks from developers and allow them to focus on what makes their business special and their unique logic. So it's been an evolution that's happened purely from a code perspective, you know, high-level languages, frameworks, particularly web frameworks. And low code took that abstraction to the next level and said there's a number of tasks that we can provide in a visual manner. However, they still leave this, you know, back door for you to come in and write code for the things that, you know, you feel that you need to write code for. And in many of these low code platforms, not only are you writing code, but you're writing typically very proprietary vendor specific code. You're leveraging libraries that they've created and added into their platform. You're leveraging syntax or entire languages that are bespoke to their solution. And you become very locked into this low code vendor and solution that you've chosen. No code came in more recently. And as we've also evolved technology in general, you know, most of these low code platforms came out when older technology was available. Now that we have new, you know, solutions, new paradigms, new technologies available, no code platforms can come in and take that abstraction even further, leveraging a lot of the great technology, and really get us to a world where developers do not have to write code for their business logic. And you've seen it a lot with dragging and dropping. I won't go into the drag and drop. That's, I think, what everybody understands about no code is, well, I can drag form elements onto a page and buttons onto a page and lay them out. But it goes so much further than that. And particularly in Uncork's solution, you know, you're dealing with connections and integrations completely codelessly, ETL processes completely codelessly. Really, again, that entire set of business logic, data, presentation, all represented with no code. So you really are able to abstract your logic from your implementation and ensure that what you're building is portable, upgradable, and future-proof.
So I'm curious, you know, here in the United States, the the rumor has been for a while now that we're at least 500,000 people short on coders and another 500,000 people short on cybersecurity folks. And we know that pretty much coders nowadays are assemblers. They're assembling open source in one form or another and adding and modifying that. So does this help mitigate this problem of not enough coders in the world?
Absolutely. You know, it helps to, one, solve the problem down of coders, but also solve a problem where, you know, the technology and the business teams have always kind of been in separate worlds, and it was hard to bridge those gaps. So one, you, by using solutions like this, you bring more folks to the table of software development, which helps to deal with, you know, the resource gaps and needs that are out there, but also leads you, I think, to better software because you're allowing folks to kind of work together on a solution. But I think it's key to mention too, particularly the way, you know, Uncork is going about this. We're not, you know, by saying that more folks outside of the technology world can get involved with the development in order to address some of these, we're not saying that, you know, the technology folks are no longer involved. We're not saying that you don't need to understand the best practices of software development and security and all the things that, you know, particularly the federal government is going to be looking for in a solution. We want to have more people at the table, but provide enough visibility to everyone within the technology and security organizations to ensure that even as you increase the number of people building and the varying levels of skills, you know, technical skills of the people, that you have the right levels of governance and oversight on top of the software that's being built.
Yeah, so I was going to go ahead, Jim.
Oh, I was just going to add, I think across the DOD, I know the Army's looking at, you know, having true Army, you know, people actually write code or, you know, get into the no code world. I was going to ask kind of this, you know, this big push to kind of open source, open code, community sharing. Do you see a vision where like there's a no code repository, you know, where it's not as much the specific platform, but there's a community that starts to grow around no code and, you know, a lot of repositories that people can use?
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, I love seeing where the federal government's gone in that regard. You know, I was recently looking at the federal source code policy. We have data.gov now, and even the White House has a GitHub page. So to see those organizations embracing that, but it's always been for the coded world, right? We've seen what open source technology can do for code. And that's what Uncork is now trying to do, or is doing for that matter, for the no code. So, you know, even though I've discussed the concepts of no code platforms, Uncork's solution to that, we're referring to as codeless architecture. And that's an open concept and an open standard. So effectively, you know, you've seen what serverless architecture has done for infrastructure. You've seen what schemaless databases have done for, you know, the dealing with the amount of data that's out there in the world and the different sources you're getting it from. You know, Uncork believes that the same concepts that drove that innovation should apply at the application stack. And everything that you do within Uncork's no-code platform is all represented in a JSON definition. So a purely declarative representation of, again, your data, your application, and your presentation. And that JSON definition is completely open, right? So we document and we publish what the meaning and the intent of every attribute of that definition is, so anyone can understand your application. Now, from that, what we're seeing is a world of developers embrace that standard to create the technology that needs to live on the fringes of it to deliver it. So again, we have this open standard in the middle, which is that representation, but you still need to build applications like IDEs to go and generate that JSON for you. You still need to build applications such as runtimes that will, you know, execute that application in a browser, on a server, on a mobile device. And because we're opening up the standard around how you can represent an application, there's going to be a ton of innovation on how you implement that and how you execute that, as well as how you create it. So I 100% see it happening, you know, here. And if you don't mind, I'll just keep it, like, it's extremely important as low code, no code is booming, right? So Gartner is predicting that 75% of all new applications at the enterprise and likely the, you know, if you consider the federal government at the enterprise level, which I think we would, are going to be built with low code, no code products. And because of that, the market is booming, which leads to fragmentation within the market. Every vendor's solution becomes unique, and it's hard to switch between them. So, you know, and then also companies are using more and more of those vendors, you know, because they're going to need different needs from different departments. So having taking that open source approach to it will really help to address this fragmentation to give us something to anchor on, so that as you move more things into that kind of development approach, you're not locking yourself in and hurting yourself in the long term.
So Nick, how does the Uncode platform work? I mean, is it a subscription model? You're buying the use of the platform? How do you charge the user, particularly the federal users or government users?
Sure. So it's been an evolution as we've seen, you know, the needs of the customers in the 4 or 5 years that we've been at this. So now we're really selling a usage-based model. We've tried user-based models, but what we find with that is it becomes restrictive. You know, when you're paying per user, then you have to be very considerate around who you have access to, because every seat is going to be a cost for you. But what we'd rather do is we want to encourage you to bring as many people into the platform as possible, to create as much software as possible, and then you'll just be charged on the usage of that software and how you're going about building. And then we also have professional services solutions. You know, we have some of the best creators in Uncorp are, of course, the ones that we have ourselves. So we certainly offer additional services to do some of that development for you, particularly for the industries that we have a lot of folks who have experience in, and then that becomes a partnership between us and the customer. And over time, that cost will reduce as you bring in more people into the platform and can start to completely maintain the applications you're creating.
So Nick, I assume it's still a pretty wild, wild west. I mean, there's just a lot of opportunities for companies to create no code on specific functionality, right? And whether it's interfaces or user design or front end, you know, probably the world will grow here in the next few years.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's why, you know, Uncork has a marketplace now where you can go and you can find a number of pre-built solutions for you. And those can be complete industry solutions, like an account onboarding solution, where you're going to get the entire workflow. And you just need to maybe swap out some fields that are important to your business, but even down to the technical solutions. You know, I need to do batch processing of a large set of data or other things to that effect. You know, we now have these assets available for folks to leverage, because we want to ensure that, you know, people don't have to reinvent the wheel. It doesn't become the Wild West, as you said, where everyone is trying to build things 1,000 different ways. And, you know, going back to what you were saying earlier around open source, you know, being such a catalyst for so much innovation, you know, the same thing's going to happen here. Think about the marketplace almost as open source configuration and open source no code, where folks can download, you know, this configuration, this open config, tailor it as they need, and know that they're building on top of a sound foundation.
So in the current world of open source and subscription models like Red Hat and other things that the federal government uses, we have a dichotomy where the science and technology developers like to go out and get open source off the GitHub and start build something and then turn it over to the programs of record, but the programs of record really can't buy things that aren't supported because they don't trust that the government's just going to support from scratch open source, which is what leads into companies like Red Hat or Elastic or others. So how does your ecosystem evolve in the future? Do you see something similar to that? I'm just trying to understand better.
Sure. So I think, you know, because again, if we look at the codeless architecture as those three primary pillars, the IDE, the open definition, and the renderers. Now, you know, Uncork having the browser and the server runtimes for it, those will always be supported even as the definition expands. So, you know, when you're using the Uncork platform as it's as complete from the IDE all the way to the runtime, you're getting the support of that. But then, of course, you know, that open standard will fuel innovation. And certainly, you know, you can envision a world where, you know, the government might come in and decide to build their own renderer for the declarative JSON definition that sits in the middle. And then, you know, they can certainly continue to support and own exactly how that implementation happens. So I think by keeping things in that very declarative manner, you know, you don't have to really support the declaration of your data. It's very consistent. And since it's really just, again, it's detached from the implementation, you know, your business logic is always supported in that your business logic is just the representation of your business logic. And then you can work with different vendors or build your own solutions to you know, be on the fringes of that and support the application.
Yeah, what we found in the last few years is went from, you know, user-based pricing to then data, you know, how much data are you using? And then we go to like ERUs and how much are you actually using from an ERU point of view. We found it kind of forced the government customers to figure out what they are actually doing, because honestly, some of them didn't know how much data they're processing or really what their application workflow was. And so I my view is this will force people to get a little smarter on what is your application really trying to do and what's your workflow, and focus on that application layer as opposed to spending countless years just changing the infrastructure all the time. And they never build an app because they're always arguing over infrastructure wars.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, when you take a very declarative structured approach to that, you know, to answer some of the questions, just saying, hey, how are my workflows running and how much data am I storing? You know, because everything becomes very structured and very declarative, the insights that you can glean from what you're building on top of a codeless architecture becomes far easier. You know, I could see exactly how many data points that I'm storing in any very simply. I can see where all the touch points of that data is very seamless, easily. I can see where it integrates out into different places. And I can look at my workflows, you know, how it's running, and I can do process analytics against that to understand at what phases of workflows are they slowing down? Where are we spending a lot of our time? You know, what resources are those various steps taking? So, you know, some of those things were possible with code, but very hard to extract out of something that is coded, particularly when you might be coding things very differently than somebody else. But because of that structured nature of that open standard definition, those are the kind of insights that you'll get to help you make those smarter decisions about, you know, what you need to create, where you need to direct your funds.
So Nick, I'm curious, would an ideal no code development from your perspective be perhaps an uncorked tech person, maybe a tech coder on the user side, and then a user sitting at the table altogether?
Yeah, it's definitely a blended approach. You know, I think because in the end, even though it's no code development, it's still software development, it is very important to have somebody at the table to help guide that, someone with that technical expertise. And it's from two levels. One, it's, you know, to really help you architect things well and think about, you know, performance considerations, security considerations, scalability considerations. So it's important to have that person at the table and to lead it, and then always be able to give them that insight. Because again, we don't want to be creating shadow IT with any of these solutions where you enable people to go off and do whatever they want with no oversight. So having that person in from the beginning and then keeping them involved with the insights that they're going to get throughout the development is important. But then you start having more people available and to do the development, folks who are, you know, closer to the business side and to the business problems and can make the changes to the business logic, but also even within the technology organization, it brings designers and quality assurance analysts closer together as well to the developers, and that they can be working more in the same system, and then that continues through to the business users.
Sounds like it maybe builds a real DevSecOps activity.
Yeah, absolutely. DevSecOps and just having a center of excellence in your organization that can, you know, look at things from that angle as well as many others is extremely important.
Speaking of security, how does your platform actually help you build secure code or secure applications?
Sure. So look, security is something that Unquark took serious from the first day. I mean, I think one of our first few hires was a chief information security officer, and that's kind of set the tone for how we want to create this platform. And as a result, we've achieved a number of certifications, SOC 2 Type 2 Privacy Shield, in process for FedRAMP right now. And so that's just the mantra that we have coming into it, is security first, because the customers of Unquark range from the US government to, you know, top five banks and insurance carriers who are obviously also considering this everything that they do. And then on top of all of that, so you have the process and our approach to it. You have the technology decisions that we've made to build the platform out, and all the rigor that we have on top of any code that we write on top of other, you know, proven secure platforms. But then to go even further, we have a number of mechanisms to effectively using AI analyze the configuration and analyze what you're building within Uncork to look for things for you. Because even if the entire foundation is secure, you can still, you know, if you don't do things in a great way, open up some insecurities. So we're constantly analyzing the configuration, going back to what I was saying earlier about how you can get such amazing insights out of that declarative structure. We can do a lot of that automatic analysis to look for those, for look for those things for you. And then lastly is, you know, as we have more and more companies who are using the platform that have their own security processes, they're constantly running scans against us. So anytime one organization scans Uncork to try to come at it from a security perspective, if they were to find anything, which is extremely rare, and it gets fixed, that immediately benefits everybody else in the platform. So going back to that open and community process, you know, we're all kind of collaborating together to work toward, you know, having the most secure platform and leveraging, you know, the different benefits that other folks provide or bring.
So Nick, kind of using the Salesforce model, you know, there was Trailhead. So if I'm a application systems engineer, what's the process for me to kind of get smart on no code, you know, Uncork? Do you see like a Trailhead like educational process or certification process coming down the road?
100%, we have it today. So there's, first and foremost, there's the community, community.uncork.com, which is currently only accessible by users of Uncork, but we'll be opening that up. And then within there, you're going to find a number of resources that are going to help folks. First and foremost is the academy and the training courses. So there's your standard boot camp, like what you need to do to actually start get going. But then there are different tracks that you can take for various levels. So we have associate, professional, expert, you know, architect, various different levels, just of certification that you can get on the ability to build in the platform. We have additional certifications around process, something called the Uncork Agile Framework, which is, you know, what we've found to be a proven way, a process to then go ahead and do the software development on top. So the certifications there. And then also within that community, once you have all your certifications, you're still going to hit probably questions throughout your development. And we have a Stack Overflow like Q&A board there where folks can, you know, ask questions and get feedback from, you know, one, anyone in the community, but then also particularly the SMEs and the folks who've been recognized as not only being active in the community, but also having had their answers be voted up and proven that they're going to give you, you know, a response of the highest quality.
So what would be the amount of training you would need to apply to an organization to adopt your platform and move forward with it?
So the initial boot camp is typically 2 weeks. Now, of course, that's not going to make you the, you know, that expert technical level within the 2 weeks, but that's going to give you the foundation to be a, you know, a team member within a larger team to actually be producing software. Beyond that, you know, to get yourself to that next level, each one of those other certifications is probably about another, you know, week or two's worth of effort. So certainly going through those certifications within, you know, a month or so, you're going to be extremely efficient in it. But I think another part of, you know, really becoming an expert in anything and is just being part of a delivery, being part of an implementation. As much as we can, you know, have these abstract concepts but as much as we can have these tailored use cases for you that you can follow along to teach the principles, it's when you really start to see it in an actual implementation and, you know, really get your hands ready that then you start to see, you know, an exponential return on your abilities when you're doing it within the context of a real world delivery.
How big is your user base now? How many people are actually using the platform?
So I believe, if I'm quoting the numbers right, we have over 10,000 people who have gone through our academy and our bootcamp. So a large amount, and that's across, you know, Uncork ourselves, that's in our number of our strategic or systems integrators. They're working with a lot of large consulting firms who are, you know, trained up in selling Uncork and implementing Uncork for their customers on our behalf, and then as well as our customers themselves. So it spans a wide array of people, and we're looking, you know, over the next 6-12 months to start to really open Uncork up to anybody. You know, I think that's one thing that we can benefit a lot from is letting anyone come in and just get their hands on it in a free trial capacity. And we're really excited to be able to do that and expect that those numbers are just going to to shoot up once anyone, any developer can come in and say, hey, what's this all about? Start to see it. And then they can then, you know, go back and start to build their own application for themselves, as well as, you know, bring our solution to, you know, the rest of their organization on our behalf.
So let me just go back to the security part of it again. It sounds like you have AI models that you've run against your developed code to test it. Is it sort of like a self-pen test that you've been building as part of it?
Yeah, so there's two layers. One just at the code level, right? Because I said there's an IDE that we have to code to generate the JSON that represents your application. And then there's the runtime that we have to code, which takes that JSON and, you know, interprets it and does what you need to do in your application. So all of that code is consistently being scanned. Every time code is committed into the repository, it's getting scanned immediately. So you can tell from our code perspective, there's constant scans. And then we're doing external scans against the platform itself. And then, as you said, we have that AI, which then sits on top of all of that, a lot of which is even built with the Uncork platform. Something cool that I always like to mention to folks is, you know, we're so confident in what our platform is capable of doing and what codeless architecture is capable of providing, that a number of the capabilities, particularly those around the software development lifecycle of the platform, is actually built with the platform. So we're eating our own dog food every day. We're living our own vision every day by creating capabilities, you know, with our platform, which of course gets scanned all the time by our AI, which comes in and ensures that your configuration is, you know, important. And those could be things like looking for sensitive, you know, properties that have sensitive names, or API calls that are happening in the browser that should be happening on the server, and other things that, you know, might lead to potential problems.
Yeah, Nick, I have a request, and that's, you know, Marv and I, both in the Department of Defense, are old enough to remember Gintex, which was like this. The government sat down and said, we're going to format all this message traffic because that's how we send information. And then XML, maybe 10, 15 years ago, became the standard. And I believe JSON is going to kind of rule the world, but we still have government people that don't know what JSON is or don't understand the ease of JSON because it's readable, you know, from the human eye. So maybe even just a simple JSON 101 course that people could understand, but maybe elaborate on that.
Yeah, sure. So JSON, short for JavaScript Object Notation, it's effectively a declarative representation of an object. So it's really just a series of key value pairs, similar to an XML, but XML comes with a lot of cruft around it. You know, there's all this additional formatting just to store a given tag. But JSON is a lot lighter version of that. So there'll be a key and there'll be a value. And then that value could either be a number, it could be a simple string, it could be an object which has its own set of key value pairs, or even arrays of data. So it is just another file format, and it is the file format that has led to a ton of growth, particularly in the API space. You know, once a lot of these APIs started to use JSON, the ability for systems to communicate became so much easier because, one, again, it's so much more lightweight than XML and other file formats, but also it was very easy for a number of different programming languages to simply morph things in and out of it. So every programming language has a very simple, straightforward, you know, JSON parse or JSON stringify method, which is going to be able to, you know, map that object that you maybe get back from an external API immediately into an object in your code or in your no code for that matter, that you can immediately start working.
Nick, you said you'd been with Uncork 3 years. How old is the company? Is the company into profitability and out of startup mode, or what's the status?
So Uncork, I believe, was founded in 2017 and, you know, had its first client very early on. And its first client was a very large insurance provider. So it came out of the gates, you know, really hot. And I joined later in 2018, where we were about only 30 people. And now we're hundreds and hundreds of people. We've seen tremendous growth throughout COVID because of the needs, the increasing needs of so many organizations to digitally transform, and the ability for low code and, more importantly, no code platforms to facilitate that. So, you know, we've grown tremendously in that time. and have gotten amazing backing from, you know, a lot of which, you know, you find the literature online, I mean, BlackRock, Goldman, Google, all investors in the platform. So the growth has been tremendous. It's been amazing for me to see that. And, you know, while we still retain a lot of startup spirit, we also realize that because of the nature of the clients that we have and the clients that we'd like to have, that, you know, we have to adopt some less startup practices here and there.
So what are your thoughts or predictions over the next several years as this unfolds?
Yeah, I think we're going to continue to see the trends that we are now. And I do want to just key back on the openness. You know, I love that you even brought up, Jim, I think it was yourself who brought up open source. And again, we've seen what it's done for software, for code, right? And it's time, because more and more things are going to be moving into this codeless, no code, you know, approach, we need to have the same approach to that. And I think, again, if we can align, if the industry or developers can align on this standard, you're going to see so much more innovation around IDEs. You know, OnCork has an amazing IDE, but someone can come in and create a better IDE. And that's a wonderful thing for us. We're not offended if you come in and build another IDE on top of the Codeless definition. You know, we're really proud of that. So I do think we're going to continue to see open source impact no code. And again, really people buying into that abstraction. I think it was an easy shift for people to buy into the abstraction of hardware, because they said, oh, well, most hardware is all the same, right? And what we're doing on it is pretty much all the same. And it's just going to run my very special, unique thing that sits on top, which is my application. But I think folks are starting to realize that, you know, a lot of that application is not as unique as you'd like to think. Now, of course, there is a ton of uniqueness to that application, but the things that are not unique are the repetitive tasks that every developer is going to do and the actual implementation of it. You know, you can write 7 different front ends and you think they're all different, but in reality, they're all trying to do the same thing, right? Represent some content on the screen, collect that data, send it to a server to run some additional validation and logic on and store it somewhere. So I think folks are starting to really embrace that. Even application development is a lot more standardized than we'd like to think. And the further that we can continue to open up the ways of solving that and simplify the ways of creating that, we're going to bring folks closer and closer to really just having to worry about their logic and, again, doing so in a declarative manner.
You're talking through all this reminds me, we're just moving so far towards the business of having software controlling everything. I was listening to companies that are doing software-defined radios now that have gotten so good at it that they can define very complex waveforms and put them on general-purpose processors. And of course, we've got software-defined networking and software-defined everything else. I guess Mark Andreessen's comment that the software is eating the world is going to come true, but maybe in a no-code way with the help of OnCork.
That sounds wonderful. I'll be sure to reach out to him and get his thoughts on Codeless.
Well, we've got about a little over 30 minutes. So if you have any final thoughts you want to impart for us?
No, I guess I just want to, you know, thank you both again for bringing me on and bringing, you know, your great experience to this conversation and asking such, you know, interesting questions and all that. And for anyone who is very interested about the things that we've said, codelessarchitecture.org is going to have all the information you need about the open standard and a lot of the codeless concepts we said. You can go to uncork.com/creators to, you know, start to get a lot of that developer focused content that, you know, I hope to share with the world and that we're really trying to bring out more, because we're not trying to pigeonhole ourselves into any one industry. And we're really, you know, focusing on being a development platform. And then we even have a Twitch channel to really try to connect with a lot of the hardcore devs out there. So, you know, check us out on twitch.tv/uncork.
The DoD needs a Twitch channel.
So can our audience track you on Twitter or LinkedIn or any other source?
Yes, Nick Gamble. Check me out on LinkedIn. Please, you know, connect and ask any follow-up questions there. I'm happy to talk to anybody.
And don't you have a cool Twitter handle?
The Twitter is @theuncoder with a underscore in between the and uncoder. I admittedly am not as active on Twitter as I should be, but you know, we'll definitely be working on that
until Elon takes over.
Yeah, exactly. Then I don't know. be able to say anything I want, but.
Well, thank you very much for your time. It's been an excellent discussion, and I look forward to Uncork growing and doing even more for the world.
All right. Yeah. Thank you again for having me. This was a lot of fun.